Good morning. I'm Coach Jake, and this is Coach Bob right over here. And we call ourselves coaches because here at Maywood we believe that our role as leaders is to coach you guys into how to get that out there on the field, how to be serving Christ. Every single one of us is needed by Jesus to be serving. Only together are we the body of Christ. So that's how we view our role, and we're hoping that you guys view your role as wanting to get out there and participate too. So today we're going to be looking at Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. Before we do that, Bob, could you open us in prayer?
Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you so much. We thank you for the love that you have for us. And Lord, we just remind ourselves that the church is not just about us in here, but it's about you invading us here. And so, Lord, we ask that you really make your presence known to us and help us to recognize and sense and experience your presence. And, Lord, I pray that you help Jake and me to share your word. And we pray for Josh that, Lord, he'll be able to join us up here really soon and be a part of what we're sharing on Sunday mornings. And then, Lord, we ask for those who listen today, please give us ears to hear what you have to say to your church. We ask you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
So this morning we're going to be in the series we started 2 weeks ago, and that series is called Momentum. And the basic idea of this series is in life, we typically, our life has momentum. We're headed in a direction. And maybe you've been in the past headed in a bad direction, and you know how hard it is to change directions in life. If you've made some bad decisions, suddenly it starts to snowball. And then if you want to change that momentum, you got to change some of your friends, you got to change some of your daily habits and where you go, and it's hard to change direction. But the same is true with a positive momentum. If you start making good decisions, start going in a positive direction, it starts to carry you. It starts to snowball in the same way that things help carry you in a more and more and more positive direction. So what we're talking about in this series is how do we get positive momentum? How do we get our life headed in that good direction? The very first week we talked about you've got to have the Holy Spirit, you've got to have God inside of you powering the change. That if you don't have God's power, you're going to drop, we talked about. And so this idea that the very first step to a positive momentum in your life is to say, Jesus, I need your help. Jesus, show me how to take a step with you. So that was week one. Today, we're going to be looking at how do we keep that momentum going? How do we grow in that momentum? And so we've got an example, kind of a random example. Maybe we have a UFC fighter who's really famous, Eddie Muss, out there, can tell you a lot more about him than I can, but Bob knows a little bit. So, Bob, can you tell us a little bit about George?
Well, you probably know more than me, but most all of us guys who follow this sport know George St. Pierre. And he's getting a little older, so he's kind of lost a little of the limelight. But lots and lots of championships, and he's a guy that I would certainly want to have on my side and not on the other side.
Right, exactly. So we're going to watch a very short little clip, kind of a montage of him and kind of his motivation. So Corin is going to cue that up for us.
Become the best, take discipline, hard work, and good energy. To become the best, I'm focusing only on one thing. I empty my mind, and I'm focusing on doing the right thing at the right moment, using the right technique, in the right timing to defeat my opponent.
So it was a very quick little video there. We missed right at the beginning. It said this quote that his goal is he wants to be the best martial artist ever of all time. So he has this very specific goal. He's trying to be the best at something. And if I talk to you guys about what is your goal, I have a feeling most of us in the room would not say, I want to be the best martial artist of all time ever. But if I asked you, what is your real life goal? Where are you trying to get in life? Where is the direction you want to head? Some of us might wind up having this expression that this lady has of, well, I want to do this and this and this and this, and that would be great, and this would be nice. And it seems like it just kind of heads in a zillion directions. Maybe we don't really have this focus that George had of, there's one direction I'm headed in. There's one thing I'm going towards, one big, big goal. And we think about, how do we figure that out? How do we figure out where should our life actually be headed? We believe here at Maywood that God has the best plan for us. God can show us the way to live our life in the best possible way. So we're going to be looking here in Galatians. Bob's going to get us started with verse 7.
Just before I read it, let me just really bring home what Jake said. Don't let it slide by you. If you don't have an idea of where you want to go, there are a lot of people in your life who will plan your life for you. It's very, very important. I have a friend who told me that about 95% of people don't have a plan for where they're going in their life. But that doesn't mean they're not going somewhere. They're just going where somebody tells them to go. So if you could just kind of make a mental note or pull out one of those little sermon notepads and write it down, what do I want? What does God want for me? That's the goal. Now, as we look at that, we want to look at, don't be deceived. God can't be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. And so Jake's got a pretty good picture of that. And why don't you describe us what that looks
like? Yeah, so this idea, God can't be mocked. A lot of us, I think, at some point in our life, think, I can do wrong stuff. I know this really isn't the best way to act. I know this isn't the right thing to do. But I don't think I'm going to get caught. I don't think it's going to really affect me. Maybe it'll affect someone else. Maybe they'll get addicted, or maybe their marriage will be hurt, or maybe their relationship with their family will be hurt. But it's not going to really affect me. I can get away with this bad stuff. But here this verse says, don't fool yourself. Don't be deceived. Whatever you plant in your life is going to grow up. And so if you plant evil things in your life, evil stuff is going to grow in your life. And the same is true. If you plant good stuff will grow. Well, when I think about planting evil in a very physical way, I think of the gumball trees. And I hate these trees. And we have a couple of them here at Maywood, unfortunately, right out there. And I had a friend, a roommate in college who eventually got a house, and he had two of these big trees in his yard. I went over there. Every time I'd go over to his house, I think, I hate this tree. I hate these trees. And the whole yard's full of them. We have to pick them up and bag them up. I'd help him out with that sometimes. It takes forever. If you're walking around barefoot, they're a pain. If you mow the yard, you know, they'll mess up your mower over time and stuff like that. So they're terrible. But imagine if Chrissy and I, at our house, imagine if we planted one of these trees, and then I came every week and complained to you guys about, like, I hate this gumball trees. I hate these gumballs all over my yard. I hate, they're always messing me up and always messing up my life. Well, you'd say, well, why did you plant one of those trees then, Jake? Why did you plant one right where you live if you didn't want that stuff all over where you live? And the same question's true for us. Why did you plant something in your life if you didn't want what it's going to produce? If you don't want your life full of gumballs, then don't plant one of these gumball trees in your yard. If you don't want your life to be full of bitterness and regret, then take a look at what are you planting in your life. So that's what this verse is saying. God can't be mocked. Yeah, maybe the police won't find you. Maybe your mom won't find out. Maybe whoever, your boss won't find out. But whatever you plant in you is going to grow. And you're going to have to live with yourself. Okay, so let's look at this next verse.
Okay, so far we're talking about people in this room making some goals and saying, I'm going to do something with my life. And one of the things we'd like to think about is let's not sow, let's not plant gumball trees, okay? Or the equivalent of gumball trees in our life. Everybody good with that? And now this gives us some more insight. It says, whoever sows or plants to please their flesh. Flesh is a strange word, and I always want to define it for us. Flesh is simply life without God. The most, on the outside, moral people in Jesus' day were living their lives apart from God, and they were the ones who put Jesus on the cross. So life without God can look very respectable. You can wear a suit, you can have a really nice suit and drive a nice car, but you're still without God, all right? And then life without God can look pretty tough and miserable. Either one is life without God. So he says if you sow or you plant to please your life without God, then from your life without God, you're going to reap destruction. That's just true. And that's true for somebody who says, I don't ever want God to be a part of my life. Well, when they come to die, they want the preacher to preach them into heaven. That's a hard job to do, okay? Because what I have to say is, you know, God's really fair. And this person wanted to live apart from God all his life. Why would God be unfair now and say, oh, by the way, come where you have to be in my presence forever? Y'all follow that? So if you sow to your life without God, from your life without God, you're going to reap destruction. And it'll be now, and it can be forever if you don't make a change. But whoever plants to please the Spirit, what's that all about? Let me give you a little illustration. Let's pretend that God's right here at this mic stand, okay? There's where God is. And my life has been walking away from God. So God is at my back. I know what he wants, but I've turned my back on him and I've lived away from him. Some of us do that. In fact, all of us do that, the Bible says, at one time or another in our life. And so I have my life away from him, and I awaken to the fact that that is just the worst thing I can do. And so I stop, and I turn around, and I go back, and I join the Lord to walk with him. Okay? Now, God doesn't have some supercomputer in heaven, and he checks out, and he says, Nick, check mark by Nick Stewart. Good, man. Jake, check mark. No, he doesn't do it long distance. He does it up close and personal. So when I make this choice to stop and to turn and to walk with God, God literally puts his Spirit inside of me. Now, I can't find it. I don't have a microscope, and somehow I can look around and say, oh, there's a Spirit right there. No. But I do know this, God's Spirit is in me. And the reason why we become new people is because God takes out that old self and he puts his Spirit in us. Okay? Everybody good with that? That's a fabulous thing. Now, we need to remember and walk with him. And so the sowing or the planting to the Spirit is doing daily things that we're going to talk about here in just a second, doing daily things to cooperate with him. And what he does for us is he gives us the best life we can have now and then the best life we could ever imagine in the hereafter. Jake, why don't you go from there?
Yeah, I want to point out two words from this verse. We've got destruction on one side and life on the other side. And imagine if every time you had to make a choice in life, there was a nice little road sign would pop up for you. It would say, if you go over here, you're going to have failure. If you go over here, you're going to have success. Or if you go over here, it's going to lead to destruction, broken relationships, bitterness. If you go over here, it's going to lead to love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, self-control. It'd be pretty easy if we had those little road signs every time we had a choice to make. But the reality is, this is what this verse is telling us, is that every decision we make, we take a step towards one of these two paths. We either plant something evil in our lives, or we plant something of the Spirit, something of God in our lives. And as you're hearing this, it might sound a little tricky of like, well, how do we actually pull this off? How do I actually walk in step with God? How do I actually live the way God wants me to? A couple years ago, my wife and I planted our first garden. And if you've ever been into a garden section at like Lowe's or Home Depot, they'll have seeds just like this. And it's ridiculous. You walk in there and you're like, well, I want to plant a garden. And then it's like, well, here's 500 different types of things you can plant, and there's 17 types of green beans, and you're like, I don't have any idea. I can't even really remember in my mind. You know, I just think of green beans. I don't even know the differences between these things. So it gets confusing. And we think about who God is and all the good traits of God. It can be a little overwhelming. You can feel like, well, there's 500 things I need to work on in my life. There's 500. I need to be a better dad, and I need to be a better worker, and I need to be more patient, and I need to be more kind and forgiving. And you can start to list off stuff, and it seems to be overwhelming. When you think about how do I become the person God wants me to be, it can feel overwhelming. This quote from George St. Pierre, he said, "I want to be the best martial artist ever of all time." That's a giant goal. That's a huge goal in life, to say, I want to be the best at this thing. But he didn't start on day one fighting a championship fight in the UFC. And in fact, even once he'd won the championship, he didn't fight a championship fight every night. But he had years and years and years of training, and probably every day he didn't train every single muscle group, but I bet he worked on certain aspects of his game year in and year out, got better, got coached, became more and more proficient. And probably one day it was like, I'm just focused on my quads today or something like that. He's just focused in one area, but he's got this bigger goal. If I'm heading in a direction, I want to be the best at UFC. And for us, if we say, I want to be the person God wants me to be, I want to live a life like Jesus, how do we actually get started? What's the training ground? What's the step-by-step to get us there year in and year out? There's a guy I want to talk to you guys about for just a minute, Thomas A. Kempis. He's from 500 years ago. It's a really long time ago. But he's a Christian. It might seem like, what can a Christian from 500 years ago, what does he really know about us today? He describes something that I think most of us still see today if you've been at church for very long. So Thomas A. Kempis says that it's a pity that most people look back at when they first became a Christian and they think like, oh, I used to be so on fire for God. It was so good when I first became a Christian. And Thomas A. Kempis says, this is crazy that people think that way. But I see it still today, 500 years later, most Christians still have that same idea. That, oh man, when I first accepted Jesus, I was on fire. And now I'm just like, eh. And now I'm not really getting it. Now I'm not really going the same speed. What Thomas A. Kempis said is this is totally backwards. We shouldn't be longing for when we were babies in Jesus. He said, imagine if just every year we added just one virtue to our life, how good we would become. Imagine if just this whole year you really worked on becoming the type of person who can forgive others no matter what they do. Or imagine if you worked this whole year on becoming patient. If you worked this whole year on trusting instead of worrying. Or if you worked this whole year on, you can, any number of things, maybe on playing guitar so you can lead worship. I don't know what it would be, but imagine if every year you added some sort of virtue, some godly trait, and you're like, I'm going to train at this. I'm going to get good at this, so I can be a better Christian. 10 years down the road, you wouldn't be thinking, I wish I was like when I first became a Christian. You'd be thinking, man, I'm so much further than I used to be. And one virtue a year, it doesn't seem like that much, but most of us go our whole lives and we kind of putter with the same problems over and over and over again. We don't actually improve year in and year out. So let's look at this next verse. Talk to us a little bit about why is it worth putting all this effort in.
And by the way, we're talking about being intentional, okay? And preaching can be entertainment, and you can sit back and say, well, those are nice ideas. But what we're hoping is that this will be preaching that leads to change. So what is the one thing? What is the thing that God is calling you to do or you need to work on, you know? What is that one thing? And then this verse says, don't get weary in doing well, all right? For at the proper time, we'll reap a harvest if we don't give up. And basically, let's talk about George St. Pierre. Don't you know he goes to the gym every day and he works out every day? And there are many days where he says, the last thing I want to do is go to the gym. Okay, I don't want to go. But he still gets up and he goes because he has a goal. We have a much higher calling than being an MMA fighter. Okay? And so can we be intentional about our life and not give up? It is so easy to have something difficult come along and just to give up, just to go back to the old self. And so the point is let's not do that. Let's stay with it. All right? Jake, why don't you take us next step?
Yeah, so we've got a little tip here on how do we actually do this daily. George St. Pierre might go to the gym and maybe have a coach tell him, like, you need to do this and this and this exercise today. What about for you guys? How do we actually set this up? So before we can work towards that goal, though, we need to each figure out what is the goal I'm striving for? What's the thing that I want to work on with God? So let's pause here for just a second. If you guys could pause me and just think, what is one thing that I want to plant good in my life right now? What's one area that I need to walk with God in my life in? Maybe it's how you spend time with God. Maybe it's how you forgive somebody. But hopefully you guys can think of what's something that God would want me to do. But then how would you actually start doing it? Well, this is kind of a random person to take advice from, but Jerry Seinfeld had this practice when he was becoming a comedian. How did he become a comedian? He had this practice called Don't Break the Chain, where every day he would make himself write new material, like new comedy stuff. And if he wrote something new, he would put an X on that day. And if he wrote something new the next day, he would put an X on it. And if he didn't write anything, then he would leave it blank. But so you see, as you start marking your calendar like that, it looks almost kind of like a chain. And you want to make that chain long. You don't want to break it. And so every day he would be working on becoming a better and better comedian. Now that's not coming straight out of Galatians. Everybody doesn't have to do it for the rest of their life. But I've been trying to do some creative writing recently. And this last month in February, I decided, okay, I've been having a hard time getting the time to write. So I did this little thing. I made X's on a calendar every day that I wrote my word count. And I wrote a lot more days in a row in February, just because I had this simple calendar thing. It was just a simple, every day I had to face, did I do my goal or did I not do it? And if you have a goal of saying, every day I want to read my Bible and spend 10 minutes praying with God, maybe that's your goal. And then you mark it. Did I do it or did I not? Or maybe your goal is, every day I want to pray for my dad because I'm struggling to forgive him. So then every day you mark it. Did you do it or did you not? We've got one more verse to kind of encourage us in this. We're going to go quick, though, through this.
This is really, I'm really glad Jake put that up, and I'm glad I had a chance longer than you have to think about this. And so I shared with the early crowd what I was going to do, and I'm going to share with you all and take it up another notch, okay? So I have a chair where I sit, and Tony knows how easily that chair can just suck me in, and I stay there. And it's like it has glue, and it needs nuclear power to get me out of it. I mean, it has something to do maybe with being 65, I don't know, but it just really is great. And so here's the plan. And the plan is this. I'm going to get my shoes out and my gym shorts out. We've got an exercise bike in the basement, and I've got a Bible. And so I can ride the bike and pray reading the Bible rather than being the first thing in my chair, okay? So that's the plan. Now, here's the next part. The next part is I carry my phone. This says I need to be preaching. Amazing. I carry my calendar on my phone. I'm going to mark it. Here's the deal. Jake, you or anybody else can come and say, Bob, show me what you've been doing. That's a little accountability, isn't it? About 400 people can hold me accountable to not sitting in my chair and, yes, sitting up and riding the bike and praying. That's about 30 minutes of reading the Bible and praying. Now, I say that to you to say, how about you? Have you got a plan? Are you thinking about something? Would you have some people hold you accountable to it? So that's what I'm doing. Why don't you try it? Jake's writing, doing something. You got a thought?
No, you're good.
All right. If you do, go ahead. I better hurry. We're out of time. All right. Therefore, that's what Jake was going to tell me. Shut up, Bob. All right. Therefore, as we have opportunity, this is something we can do. Let's do good. So something you might do is say, I'm going to do good for people. I'm going to do the next right thing. I'm going to do the most loving thing. I'm going to do the most kind thing. And I'm going to give this to you because we are running out of time.
Yeah, we are running out of time.
Shut up,
so
Bob.
Here's the thing, though. It is practical stuff. This isn't just, I'm going to feel happy all the time. We can't really control that. But we can control, I'm going to do something nice for that coworker every day this week. Or I'm going to spend time with my daughter every day this week. We can do things to fit this verse, okay? It says, all of us have an opportunity. That's what this verse is saying. So what's your opportunity that you're going to work on? So here's the interesting thing about us as people is we never stay the same. If you went home this week and just laid on your couch and didn't do anything and just ate cheese puffs all week, you would be a different person when you came next week. You would have a different belt size maybe, even if you didn't do anything. Every single day we change. And by the time you show up to church next Sunday, you will be slightly different than you are today. But imagine you have that goal in your mind. You know, this quote from George about he's focusing on one thing. If you're focusing on one thing this week, imagine if you actually did that goal every day this week. And so you've got this calendar going. And so by next Sunday, you've got seven little X's by next week. Would you be a better person by next week? Would you be better at patience? Would you be better at your relationship with somebody in your family? Would you be better at helping out somebody at work that needs help? Imagine if in April 22nd, you show up and you've got a whole calendar full, a whole month full of X's. How good would you be at that thing that you're working at that goal that you set today? And next year, if you showed up and, you know, if you don't have, if tidiness is not your goal, hopefully, maybe you have a whole floor full of these calendars of all these X's. And I bet if you worked at whatever your goal is today, even if it's a big goal, if you worked at it every day this next year, I bet you would be a better person on March 22nd, 2016. We've had a lot of years, each of us in this room, we've had a lot of years that we've lived, but probably not all those years have made us better. But we have the choice today to say, this year, I'm going to improve in an area. I'm going to live up to what Thomas Akempis was talking about. I'm going to be better at following Jesus. I'm going to be in the Spirit more than I am right now. And that happens just daily, one little X at a time, 10 minutes, an hour every day. So I'm going to leave us with this final thought. Since I've been doing a lot of writing, I had this advice I think is really good. I'm working actually on a goofy little novel right now, but I listened to a guy who's written a lot of books, and he said most people, when they write their first book, they try to make it the best, you know, the American classic right off the bat, and they think they have these dreams that they're going to sell their first book and da-da-da-da. He's like, but most people, when they learn something else, they don't think they're going to sell the very first thing they do. When you learn to play piano, you don't try to sell a recording tape of your scales or something that you're learning. And he's like, it's the same thing with a book. If you're writing your very first book, don't try to make your very first book the masterpiece of your whole life. He said, try, as you're writing your first book, to become a novelist. Like, try to become the type of person who writes good books. And for us today, we don't have to become George St. Pierre this next year. We don't have to become the world's best at something that God's laid on your heart. But try to start becoming the person who can walk in the Spirit, the person who brings Jesus into their workplace, the person who brings Jesus into their family. Don't just work on, I'm going to fix this one little area of my life. Try to become a person who is fixed, a person who shows up places and is able to change the momentum, not just of your own life, but the momentum around you. That when everything in your family is falling apart, you come in and can change direction towards love or towards grace. Or when everyone at work is being really negative and stressed, you can come in with peace. You can come in with forgiveness. So we try to become those types of people who are in the Spirit. That's what all these goals are putting us towards, is becoming a person who's close with God, who's so full of God and so mature with God that we can face whatever gets thrown at us. So we're going to have this time of response today. The worship team is coming up right now. This time of response is really for give you a chance to think about, what is the goal for me? If I were going to make an X tonight at my house on a calendar, what do I have to do to get to that X? What's my goal? If you don't set a goal here during this response time, it's going to be really unlikely that you'll show up next week with a calendar, you know, with a week full of X's. If you don't set that goal. We're going to have some people down here up front ready to pray with you. Please come down, respond. We'd love to pray with you. Let's pray. God, I thank you for who you are, that you love us, and God, that you want to walk with us. Show us the next right step. Show us the goal that you have for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.